If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:8. Hi, I'm Rob West. Christian parents take that verse quite seriously, wanting to give their kids everything they need and even a life better than they had. I'll talk about a tool that can help you do that, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, I mentioned parents wanting to provide for their children, but we shouldn't leave grandparents out of the mix. After all, Proverbs 13:22 reads, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." And we've been getting a lot of calls lately about one of the ways that parents and grandparents can do that, with a custodial account. It's a great way to start building that inheritance for kids while you're still on this side of the sod, so to speak. Now, what exactly is a custodial account? Well, much as the name suggests, it's a savings or investment account set up in a minor child's name where you are the custodian. Technically, the child is the owner of the account, but you remain in control to act in the child's best interest. Whether for saving or investing, a custodial account comes with few strings attached as to how the contributions and earnings can be used. That's quite different from other types of accounts set up in a child's name, such as a 529 education savings account, where withdrawals must be used for eligible expenses or you incur taxes and penalties. Federal law provides for two types of custodial accounts, but since the version set up under the Uniform Gift to Minors Act, or UGMA, allows for most kinds of investments, we'll concentrate on that one. And it's good to know that UGMA accounts are allowed in all 50 states. And while conventional custodial accounts are inexpensive and a breeze to set up, they're not perfect. So let's get into the pros and cons. First, the pros. I mentioned that custodial accounts are easy and inexpensive to set up. This is especially true when compared to a trust that could cost around $1,500 to establish and comes with certain legal requirements. Next, a custodial account provides a tax benefit to the person setting it up. Once assets go into the account, they become part of the child's estate. They can never go back into your estate and are no longer counted against you for tax purposes. You can fund a custodial account with up to $16,000 in 2022 without having to fill out the IRS gift tax form 709. Contributions above that limit will count against your lifetime exemption of $12.06 million, so that shouldn't be a problem. There's also a tax benefit for the minor, sort of, because his or her income is taxed at a lower rate. But it's important to know the rules for the so-called kiddie tax, enacted to prevent parents from transferring large sums to their minor children to escape higher tax rates. Under the kiddie tax, the first $1,150 of investment income, meaning money earned by the investment, is covered by the kiddie tax's standard deduction, so it is not taxed. The next $1,150 is taxed at the child's marginal tax rate. Anything above $2,300 is taxed at the parent's marginal tax rate. And one final advantage to a custodial account, you can invest the funds in anything offered by the financial institution administering the account. Although many institutions prohibit putting assets into high-risk investments like futures or derivatives. Okay, we've gone over the pros. Now, here are the cons. First, you can't change your mind. Once your funds go into the child's custodial account, the child legally owns them, and only the child can withdraw funds from the account upon reaching the age of majority, which is 18 in most states, and at that age, the child can use the funds however they want. You have no control over the money. There are certain limited circumstances where you can withdraw funds, but you need to show they were used for the child's benefit and not yours, or you'll open yourself up to legal problems. Buying a car or taking a family vacation with the money won't qualify. And since the child legally owns the assets in the account, they'll be counted against that child when it comes to federal financial aid for education. If there are substantial assets in the account, the child may not be eligible for grants and some student loans. Also, you can't take a deduction for funds going into a custodial account, and when the child comes of age and withdraws funds, the child will have to pay capital gains taxes on the earnings. Well, those are the whys and wherefores of custodial accounts. I hope you found it helpful. And make sure you know that this money can be used for any purpose by the child. So just consider that as you're going into it. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. If you're spiritually healthy, you know we could be out of here at any moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes it well. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we evermore be with the Lord. That could happen before you hear the end of this message. It's only by his grace that God's prolonging his rapture to get as many of your unsaved friends and loved ones into heaven before they're left behind. Again, if you're spiritually healthy, you know that. And you have a rooting section in heaven. Luke 15 tells us there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. How many times will they be having that celebration because you decide to make your highest priority moving everyone every day closer to Jesus? Get help sharing your faith at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Big Tech is blatantly censoring conservative and Christian content, and today's issues made sure you're aware.
The control of information is stunning. Dr. Scott Atlas, one part of the president's team on coronavirus, cited information out of Europe on the lack of value of wearing masks, and Twitter has removed him.
If the issues affect you and your family, today's issues will keep you informed. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on AFR, or listen to the podcast anytime at AFR.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, we're taking your calls and questions as we turn the corner and cover anything financial this morning. The number to call with lines open is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whether you want to talk about your spending plan as we tackle our budgets in the midst of these inflationary times, with the average American family spending somewhere between $500 and $600 more just on basic necessities, well, we can do that. Are you thinking about saving for the future? Maybe it's paying down debt, you know, with variable interest, like we have with credit cards and other forms of debt. This is a really important time as rates head higher to get that debt paid off in full. What's the best way to do that? Credit or debt consolidation? No. Debt settlement? No. It's probably through a snowball method that you can do yourself or through credit counseling. If you want to talk about that or your credit score, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's tackling this market. Boy, we have seen incredible volatility and a pretty significant significant sell-off as of late in light of the Fed's recent comments, continued inflationary pressures, plus a looming slowdown that we're already feeling the effects of economically. All of that been weighing on the markets, which caused us to end the third quarter with a pretty steep decline. The market rebounding today, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ all up more than 1% today, but certainly more pressure to come as we start to get earnings from the previous quarter. And we're going to hear from more companies talking about the slowdown that's already taking place. That's certainly going to weigh on the markets. Well, how do you approach that depending on where you're at? Are you nearing retirement? Are you still thinking about the long term in terms of your investments? Whatever it might be, we'd love to help you think through that today. Again, the number to call with lines open as phone calls are coming in even now, 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, we'll tackle the topic of investing and talk about really when we go to God's Word, what are some of those key ideas and principles we need to be pulling out of God's Word as we think about our own investment strategy. What does that look like? Well, we'll tackle that today. Also, the get-rich-quick mentality. You know, so often when we have times that are challenging like this in the market, perhaps we're already feeling behind, and now with the market pressure being on the downward trend, we're seeing those account balances dwindle. There's the tendency to try to shortcut the process of building wealth, and that leads to a get-rich-quick mentality. Well, God's Word has quite a bit to say about get-rich-quick, and it's not good. I'll weigh in on that today and give you some of my thoughts. And then again, of course, your questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's head to the phones here in our second segment of the broadcast. We'll start today in Maine, and welcome Lucy. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question has to do with retirement income and tithing. I was blessed to work almost 30 years for a really great company, and I recently retired. I've been a decades-long tither, tithing 10%+ on my gross income in addition to sponsoring Compassion Kids, local radio stations, and a pregnancy care center, which I plan to continue.
That's great.
But it was clear what to tithe when I had a paycheck, but now I'm pondering tithing on this new lesser income stream, which would sure. be IRA, 401k, and Social Security once I start drawing it. So I kind of like your opinion on that. Is it gross income tithing because it's only on just gains, or is it just straight 10% on anything that I would take from those income streams?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think as we lean into this conversation, you know, so often this is challenging because folks like you that want to be found faithful in your giving. And as you said, it was very clear when you had an income stream coming in just to give right off the top. First of all, I love the principle of the tithe. You know, I think as we look at the Old Testament versus the New Testament, the law of Moses versus the law of Christ, we see clearly there was a tithe. In fact, there was three tithes in the Old Testament that amounted to 23 1/3%, because one of the three happened only every 3 years. And so, you know, we applied that right off the top, first fruits, giving off of the increase systematically back to the Lord as a demonstration of trust and worship. And I like continuing that, even though we're not under the law of Moses any longer. And Jesus essentially raised the bar in every situation, including, I think, our generosity, as he now says we should give as we've been prospered, and we've now seen the cross and what he did for us on our behalf. And so, as my friend Randy Alcorn says, this should really be the training wheels of giving. Giving a tenth as unto the Lord is really a starting point. But how do we think about that in terms of defining an increase during these more difficult times in terms of the computation? And, you know, what my friend Howard Dayton likes to say is, he said, well, you know, in the farming economy of the biblical times, they didn't subtract the amount of wheat they had planted in computing the tithe. They just tithed on the whole increase. So his opinion is that whatever I receive is a gracious gift from God, regardless of what I've invested. Because if we wanted to calculate truly just the increase on this amount, we would have to factor in, as it relates to Social Security, just, you know, that portion beyond what you put into the program through your FICA taxes. And the same would be true on the earnings portion of your distribution, provided that you already tithed on the gross amount, and therefore there was a tithe that went into the contributions going into your portfolio. So I think you've got to step back from it, Lucy, and perhaps pray through it and just ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? Clearly, He's about our hearts, not about legalism. And so I think one of two approaches makes sense. One is to try to actually determine what that portion is over those years that you paid into the Social Security system, or the amount that you contributed to that retirement plan through your salary deferral, and then look at perhaps a pro rata portion that says, okay, out of every check, I'm going to consider this percent to be a return of capital, and I'm going to consider the other portion to be, the increase that I received over time, and perhaps split it up that way. Or you could take Howard's approach, which is just to say, you know what, everything I get is a gracious gift from the Lord, and so I'm just going to continue to tithe as I always have right off the top, even though in a sense I'm tithing again on that portion that's being returned to me that I paid into the system. I think you could do either of those approaches. And again, I think it really comes down to a heart attitude. What is it we're trying to do as we give as unto the Lord? And, you know, ultimately that's between you and Him. But give me your thoughts on that.
I like what Howard said. I like the 10%. That just seems right. So much easier. And not just trying to figure out what I've already done and what I have left to do. So I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think certainly that it honors the Lord. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong approach to this. I'm not trying to guilt anybody into anything. But I think at the end of the day, just being able to say, you know what, this is the provision that has come into my household this week or this month, and I'm going to give back to the Lord cheerfully and know that it's a privilege to be connected to God's activity, whether that's, through giving a tithe to your local church or those many other opportunities that you already described that the Lord placed on your heart that you have the privilege of giving to and perhaps will continue to. So Lucy, love the question, love the heart behind the question even more. And I know God is going to honor your desire to be found faithful in your giving. And there's a lot of joy that's going to continue to follow that. Thanks for listening and calling today. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to the financial decisions and choices you're making today. What's on your mind, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. With lines open, you can call right now. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones. We'll head to Mississippi. John, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I have a two-part question. One is, my wife and I opened a Roth IRA up for a minor, both of our sons, but we haven't contributed to it. And there's a little question about earned income. You know, they're 4.5 and 9.5. So obviously they don't have a job and taxable income. However, birthday money, Christmas money, things of that nature. Can we contribute to that, or do they actually have to have a job, say, 16 years old?
Yeah,
to start adding money. And the reason we're wanting to do that is for college expenses. We have 529 plans for both of them, but, you know, maybe they don't want to go to college. And yeah, we're thinking an IRA would, they could draw out of it for college or just help them as they get older.
Yeah. 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 Unfortunately, they do have to have earned income for any contribution to an IRA, be it a traditional IRA or Roth. So even though they're getting some money coming into them, or you may want to contribute on their behalf, you know, that has to come from earned income. And so you're probably going to have to sit on that until they get a little bit older. Now, they can, you know, that can come from self-employment. It could come from a part-time job. You know, it could come from services to an employer. So you can get creative there in terms of what that looks like and as it relates to, you know, their ability to contribute to a Roth IRA. But it does have to come from a job and, you know, for instance, an allowance in return for doing chores doesn't count as earned income. Now, it's legal to hire a child to do a specific job in your home, but there's a fundamental difference between, say, a domestic employee who regularly cleans your house and a child who's asked to make his bed. But, you know, other things like, you know, a steady job like babysitting or lawn mowing also counts as earned income, but it's preferable if your child works for someone other than your own family. And whenever they don't get a W-2, they need to keep a record of the date of each job and the person who employed them and the amount that they earned. If you have a small business, you can employ your children, pay them a salary, and then open a Roth IRA on their behalf. But they have to be doing, again, real work with a reasonable wage that's being paid in order to make that contribution. Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand completely. Thank you. Second part to my question is, my wife and I both have Roth IRAs that we currently contribute to. With the market going down, would it be a good idea if we're able to finish funding what we can contribute for 2022 and take advantage of a down market? Or
Absolutely.
Is it a better idea just to, okay. And next question, if we're able to come 2023 and the market's still down, is it okay to go ahead and just jump right in as much as we can at that point and not worry about staggering it throughout the year?
Yeah, I love that idea. In fact, you know, this is a great time, and it seems counterproductive for a lot of folks. They're saying, wait a minute, look at what the market's doing. I need to sit this out and wait till we get to the other side of it. The challenge is when we get to the other side of it, the market will have probably already recovered a good bit. Remember, the market tends to look out 6 months or more, and so the stock market will recover well before we actually see the economic recovery in anticipation of some of those leading indicators that point toward a coming economic recovery. So for that reason, we can't try to time the market. That's a losing proposition. So I think you being systematic in your contributions right now, as you're able to fully fund that Roth for this year, and then as soon as you can fund next year while we're seeing the market at these levels, perhaps even slightly lower or even slightly higher, is going to pay real dividends down the road, John, as this market recovers and you're buying more shares with less dollars that will eventually appreciate.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, John, we appreciate your call today. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with your questions on financial decisions and choices that you're making. Again, 800-525-7000. Shelly's in Iowa. Shelly, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. Wondering the scripture that you opened with about providing for your family. If you don't provide for your household, you're worse than an unbeliever. I'm familiar with that verse. I am remarried, and my current husband seems to believe that because I am not giving him children, he doesn't need to provide anything for me. How does that work with that verse, and how do I pray about that?
Yeah. Well, it's really not even about that verse, Shelley. It just goes back, I think, to this idea of marriage. You know, God's design for marriage is oneness, that two become one flesh in marriage. And when that happens, that means everything comes together under the lordship of Christ, and we each have responsibilities as is laid out in Scripture as both a husband and a wife that are very clear. And that includes really you all bringing together every facet of your lives, including your finances, and inviting God into your finances and joining everything, which means the balance sheet as well as the income and the plan moving forward for how you all are going to provide for yourselves and your children. Now, that does get a little more complicated when we have children from previous marriages, and it often requires us thinking about that differently as it relates to especially assets that were accumulated prior to that second marriage, and often through what's often referred to as a togetherness agreement, there can be decisions made to say, okay, anything that was earned or accumulated prior to this marriage, we're going to keep separate and allow that to go to our children. But from this point forward, even in a second marriage, we need to bring all of that together and make our plans moving forward. So what I would do is pray first and then sit down with him and begin exploring the scriptures in this area. And I'll send you a gift that I think will help you do that. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Physical hurricanes, spiritual hurricanes, they can blow into your life out of nowhere. But even in the greatest storms of life, Christ is there to bring us comfort. I'm Charles Morris. Join me for the next Haven Today and a special program on Hurricane Ian, a program called Comfort in the Storm.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I had the chance to talk to Shelley a bit off the air, and you know, as we talked about, financial issues are really just symptomatic of heart issues. You know, the decisions we're making financially often point to those deeper spiritual issues that are uncovered by how we handle money. The late Larry Burkett would often say the way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's happening in our lives spiritually. Why is that? Well, it's the most tangible evidence of what we value and where we've placed our trust. As we work out our financial decisions, we're really putting on full display where our hearts are at. And as it relates to marriage, again, the big idea is oneness. Each of us surrendering our lives to Jesus first, recognizing the separation through sin that we have between us and God, and realizing that Jesus, through his shed blood on the cross, built the bridge between us and God so we could be reconciled to the Father through what's called substitutionary atonement. As Jesus sheds his blood, we accept him as our Savior, paying the penalty for our sin. The free gift of eternal life is extended to us, and now we can be in a right relationship with God our Father. And when we do that, that's the beginning point. And then as we pursue the Lord in marriage, together we join in oneness toward what God has for us. And as we do that, one of the things we bring together under the Lordship of Christ is our finances. So Shelley and I talked about, we're going to begin praying that her husband has an encounter with the living God and that he begins to have his eyes open to his need for a Savior and to grow in that relationship with Jesus, perhaps through some biblical counseling. The two of them can come together and really focus on their marriage first, and then the finances being a secondary issue to that perhaps will be included in that conversation. If you think about it today or even now, would you pray for Shelley as she prepares to have that conversation with her husband and continue to pray and walk alongside him in support as his wife? And as she lives that out, we see this in 1 Peter, it's contagious. When we live out an authentic relationship with the Lord, it's contagious even to our spouse as we demonstrate that over time. So be praying for Shelley if you would. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever is on your mind financially speaking. Let's head to back to the phones. Kentucky is where we'll go next. Eli, go right ahead, sir.
Peace be upon you, Rob. Good program.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I have two questions. Where in the Bible I can read about finance?
Oh, well, Eli, it's all through the scripture. Do you realize there's 2,300 verses that deal with money and possessions, more than half the parables? Jesus talked about this topic more than anything else except love. The reason is not that he needed our money. Remember, God owns it all. The earth is the Lord and the cattle on a thousand hills. So Psalm 24:1 clearly demonstrates that it's all belongs to him. And then we recognize our role as steward or manager of God's resources. And then we are seeking to be found faithful as we manage that according to the wisdom of the Bible. What I'd love to do, perhaps for your study in this, Eli, there's a wonderful Bible that was put together by the American Bible Society a number of years ago. It's called the Stewardship Bible. And basically what they did was they went through, in working with our friends at Compass Finances God's Way, they identified every passage that deals with the topic of money and possessions, and they're highlighted in green. And so perhaps as you meditate on Scripture in this beautiful, full, complete Bible with all of these passages already highlighted for you, you can begin to capture the big themes, the big ideas on the heart of God as it relates to our money, that we should hold it loosely and live simply, and that it's not about building bigger barns, but it's about demonstrating our trust through how we handle our finances with contentment. And one of the biggest ideas of all is that when we hold it loosely, we can give generously, because giving breaks the power or the grip of money over our lives. And it's an opportunity to be joined with God in his activity through our generosity. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to send this beautiful Bible to you as our gift, Eli. And perhaps as you begin to explore the scriptures, you will begin to see some of what you'd like to learn as you understand what God is saying in this area. Does that sound good?
Yes, sir. Yes, please. May I ask you another question, sir?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
The second question is, most of the banks here offering CDs for 3.5% for 16 months. Is that a good idea?
3.5% for 16 months. You know, it's not bad. If you look at what the high yield online banks are paying right now for high yield savings, what you'll see is that rates are up at around 2.15% for most of the online banks right now. I like Marcus or Ally Bank or Capital One 360. So the question is the trade-off between getting a little more than 2% right now with FDIC insurance and full liquidity versus locking your money up for the next, I think you said, 16 or 18 months and getting an extra percent to a percent and a half. Probably not a bad idea. The only thing I would consider is that we have a pretty good indication from the Federal Reserve that rates are going to continue to head higher. And so you're just giving up the potential to lock in at higher rates, you know, even 3 or 6 months from now. So perhaps what I would do is maybe take of the money you're looking to put into CDs, maybe take only somewhere between 25 and 50% and put in that CD that you just described, but keep the other 50 to 75% liquid in a high yield savings account, and maybe 6 months from now, put that in and use that as a way to build what's called a CD ladder, so that you've got a portion of it coming due, let's say every year, so that you can roll it over into higher rates as they become available. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense and logic. I appreciate you, Rob. I'm a new listener. I love your program. Very authentic program.
Thank you very much, sir. God bless you. We appreciate your calling today. Let's see. Lafayette, Indiana is where we'll head next. Gloria, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you, Rob. my question is this. In pre-arrangements for your funeral services, is it best to pay for it ahead of time, or are there options available that might be better than paying everything right now?
Yes. You know, I like pre-planning for sure, Gloria, just because we want to try to take as much of that off of your loved ones as possible when that time comes. And so that's going to provide peace of mind to you and your family. It's going to lessen the burden on loved ones because the plan's in place. You've been able to select your preferences in writing. It gives you time to think about, you know, how you want to be remembered. Now, the question is, does it make sense to pre-plan? pay it. And, you know, that's where there's kind of mixed reviews on that, in the sense that you have to recognize, you know, there, it doesn't, you know, you can't make a change often if you wanted to down the road. Every now and then, some of these funeral homes do go out of business. So you just have to factor that in. You know, prepayment doesn't always cover all of the costs. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, as long as you have the assets that are readily available and the planning is done, that gives you the flexibility to make changes over time. But if you're pretty confident in, you know, where you'd ultimately like to be buried and where the funeral would be, and you'd just like the idea of knowing that the money has already exchanged hands and this is a reputable funeral home, then I would say there's no problem in that. But if you have any questions or hesitation, I think the pre-planning is really the most important part. I've got to take a break, but let's talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Are we there yet? Every parent knows this question. Sometimes it seems it's the only thing kids know how to say on a road trip. They want to reach their destination, but there's no patience for the journey. Why can't we just snap our fingers and arrive on the other side of wherever we're going? Then again, we're all like that in some ways. We want to reach the end, perfection, and the new heavens and earth. But our journey as sinners on this fallen planet can be a real challenge. We can be confident, though. Not because of anything in us, but because our Savior is faithful to us. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Get Anchor Devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
To have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls at 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go in Virginia. Jim, you're next on the program, sir. Go right ahead.
Good Monday morning to you.
Hi there.
I am driving, and there is noise in the car. Can you hear me all right?
I can. You be safe, and yes, sir, go right ahead.
All right. I have some commodities, some precious metals. I also have a small equity line of around $6,000 that has not been an issue in working that down. But I'm looking ahead when we're going to have a digital currency, and thinking that when that time comes, it might be that the government will choose to require a turn-in of that, those commodities, at a lesser rate than they are currently valued at. So I'm wondering what your thought might be of liquidating enough of those commodities to pay off that small equity line.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things going on here, Jim. I mean, I want to get in a binary trap, which is where we just put two choices against each other without considering all of the options. I mean, I think the first question is, does it make sense to pay off the debt? I always love being debt-free, just being unencumbered, and whether, you know, depending on what assets you have, looking at what to liquidate for that is always a worthy conversation. As to the digital currency, I mean, clearly there's a lot of talk right now about what's called a CBDC, which is a central bank digital currency issued by the Central Bank of the United States. It would be a digital liability of the central bank that would be widely available to the general public. That's not available today. Physical currency is the only type of central bank money available to the general public. But through President Biden's executive order, there was a study and now a report given on the benefits of a digital currency. Could we have something that you know, will come into play down the road? Absolutely. That certainly could be the case. Now, could there be what you described, where there's a demand that physical commodities be turned in exchange for these? I mean, that would be just so politically unpopular and challenging to get through legislatively, Jim. I just don't see that happening. Now, is that a possibility? I guess anything's possible, right? But, you know, that would not be something that I would be thinking about right now in terms of a reason to take action to liquidate the precious metals that you're holding. So that would not be my recommendation if that's the reason you're doing it. But if you just wanted to pay off that debt and that was the asset that you wanted to liquidate in order to do so, I could certainly support that because, again, I think being out of debt, reducing your lifestyle or your monthly expenses is always a good idea, but I don't think the digital currency is a reason to do that, in my opinion, sir.
All right. Seems that that is good advice, and I do agree about being out of debt. Had not wanted to take on this home equity line, but there are a number of things I needed to do around the house, and that seemed to be a reasonable thing to do at the time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for your help and your,
all right, Jim.
And your thoughts.
I appreciate your call today, sir, very much. Let's head to Indiana. Bruce, you're next on the program. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, my name is Bruce, and I am 37 years old, and I would like to know, how should I go about setting up my 401k?
Yeah, Bruce, I like the 401k a lot to be able to save for retirement specifically because it allows you a much higher contribution limit than an IRA. So, you know, for instance, for 2022, you have the ability to put in quite a bit more, $20,500 for someone under the age of 50. It's going to happen through salary deferral. So if you have one available, you'll just let your benefits department or HR department know that you want that set up. Hopefully they offer some matching. I would at least take advantage of any matching that's coming your way, Bruce, which is just, you know, an automatic return on your money of probably 100% up to a certain amount. That's always a benefit. You're not going to get that anywhere else. And then the key is just limiting your lifestyle in such a way that you have margin and the ability to contribute out of your check, which is going to reduce your check, but get that money going toward the longer term. The goal ultimately is to put 10 to 15% of your pay into that 401k. And then at that point, you have to decide which investments to choose. Often the easiest, if you're unfamiliar with these investments, especially as you're just getting started, would be what are often referred to as a life cycle fund, which basically is just a fund of investments, a basket of investments that you would select that has a target date that matches your expected retirement date. So let's say it's 20 years from now, you might select the 2045 target date fund that matches when you're going to retire. And then the investments would be more aggressive now, and they would get more conservative as you get closer and closer to your target retirement date. That's a great way to invest as you're getting going because you don't have to think about, you know, which funds you should be in. That kind of happens for you using indexes, which kind of mirror the broad market. The last thing that I'll say, Bruce, is that this is a great time to get started just because the market is down so much. And so as you begin to what's called dollar cost average into the market through your systematic salary deferrals into the 401k, you're buying more shares with the same monthly contribution because everything's cheaper right now with the market being down. So this is a great time to get started. I've thrown a lot at you there. Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I just, I think the next step for you is to go to your employer and just make sure that you're, you've been enrolled into the 401k, choose the account type, either the Roth or the traditional version. If you have the choice, I'd use the Roth, and then start setting up the percent you want going in to that 401k every month.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate you calling today. You know, I mentioned one of the things that happens in a market like we're in right now is what we call the get rich quick mentality. You know, it's where we're trying to overcome either the lack of prudent planning or a market that has eroded our assets and trying to make up for lost time. And, you know, as we look to God's word, God has revealed his way of building wealth is gradually through hard work and skill. Pride can often lead us to think we can circumvent the Lord's wisdom. The Bible confirms this in Proverbs 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." So it's good to recognize and avoid get-rich-quick programs, but that doesn't solve the problem of wanting to get rich quickly. Here are the three dangers of trying to get rich quick. First of all, it usually involves getting involved with things you don't understand. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 reminds us, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Second danger in get rich quick is the temptation to risk money you don't have or can't afford to lose. Proverbs 27:2 warns that the prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. The third problem of trying to get rich without hard work or skill is that usually it involves making impulsive decisions. Proverbs 28:22 reminds us that a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. So even if you're in financial trouble, trusting in a get-rich-quick program to pull you out is really a recipe for disaster. But there is hope. In the end, those who reject God's wisdom will suffer the consequences, but we can be confident that as we trust him and seek to walk in his ways, our needs will be met. So we want to develop the mind of Christ. We want to spend daily time in God's word to renew our minds. And we'd love to help you with that here at MoneyWise anytime we can on our website at moneywise.org through this radio broadcast each day. And hopefully as we explore the scriptures and begin to understand what's on God's heart as it relates to our money, well, that gives us an opportunity to be able to lean into that and understand the principles in his word that really apply to how we handle his money. Here's the reality, folks. We have a high calling. We serve the creator of the universe. It's all God's. It all belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it is what we read in the Psalms. So how should we respond? Well, we're called to be found faithful as trusted stewards or managers of God's resources. And when we go to Scripture and we begin to understand what's on the heart of God, well, that gives us an opportunity to be, in fact, found faithful. We read in God's word, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And to whom much is given, much is required. And so it's a worthwhile endeavor for us to say, what does it look like to be found faithful? And how can I do that over time, steady in the same direction as I handle God's money? Well, each day we'd love for you to gather here with us as we explore these ideas to live simply, living within our means, avoiding debt, having some margin or some liquidity in our financial lives, setting long-term goals, and ultimately giving generously. And when we do that, I think we'll experience God's best in this area. It doesn't mean we won't have our challenges along the way. We certainly will while we're in this world, but we can certainly put ourselves in a position to experience, I think, all that God has for us. And when those difficult times come, we can trust in the Lord, knowing that his promises are true. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today, Mr. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer, Pat Montague handling our phones today, Robert Sutherland providing great research for me today. So appreciate you being along with us. I hope you'll come back and join us again tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll be here to do it all over again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.